On July 23rd, 2025, President Trump signed three executive orders aimed at solidifying U.S. leadership in artificial intelligence, with one specifically targeting the acceleration of data center construction. The new policy promotes the use of federal lands, including brownfield and Superfund sites. Brownfield and Superfund sites are basically former industrial sites, generally found in urban areas that are complicated by the potential presence of hazardous substances, pollutants, or contaminants. A $500 billion private sector partnership has already been formed with companies like OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank to construct up to 20 AI data centers across the United States. Meanwhile, Meta has unveiled ambitious plans to build massive AI data centers, including the Hyperion project in Louisiana, projected to scale up to 5 gigawatts of computational power over several years, and the Prometheus cluster in Ohio, set to come online in 2026, with 1 gigawatt and 500,000 GPUs. Additionally, Meta is developing multiple Titan clusters, with each facility's footprint rivaling significant portions of Manhattan. Additionally, data centers use water for cooling servers and other IT equipment to prevent overheating. A hyperscale center can guzzle 3 to 5 million gallons per day. In 2021, data centers collectively consumed 449 million gallons per day, while the rest of America consumed 39 billion gallons per day. So data centers used roughly an additional 1% of water resources. But as small as these numbers are today, the AI data center juggernaut is inevitably barreling headlong into a water-starved future, and the battleground is smack dab in America's driest regions. Out in the Southwest, Arizona's a ticking time bomb. Phoenix and Mesa are drowning in data centers while the Colorado River chokes. Google is already gulping millions of gallons a day, elbowing out farmers and folks just trying to keep their taps running. California's Central Valley and Southern Sprawl are getting hammered too, with new server farms piling onto a state already choked by drought. Then there's Texas. Abilene staring down the barrel of OpenAI's Stargate behemoth, a project set to suck up water in a state where droughts are legendary and farmers are fighting for scraps. Over in Georgia, places like Newton County are already paying the price. Wells running dry, water turning to sludge, and a looming deficit by 2030. Virginia is currently the king of data centers, with Northern Virginia's server farms multiplying like roaches, draining resources while locals and industries beg for relief. Some outfits are tinkering with air cooling or recycling water, but it's a drop in the bucket against the tidal wave of AI's thirst, set to explode by 2027.
But then there's no lobbying group, no environmental group, no group saying this summer in the real studies by the major five power grids that they're all on the verge of collapse just because of AI data centers, including the main East Coast grid, the biggest. But they say global warming, you'll have blackouts, the power's about to go out. But they never say in those articles it's because AI is already slurping up 40% of the power produced in the United States while they shut down the power plants. So you don't get power, but AI gets all the power it ever wants because they're paving the way for it, because it will control everything we do, but only the power we give it.
New categorical exclusions under the National Environmental Policy Act and Streamlined Clean Water Act permits aim to remove barriers to data center construction, potentially increasing reliance on energy-intensive sources like coal, as outlined in an April 2025 executive order promoting coal infrastructure for AI facilities, a resource that Democrats want to eliminate. The road to AI innovation is now entering a new roller coaster phase. Establishing and maintaining dominance in AI data centers is obviously critical for a country to...
I'm cutting this on July 30th, 2025.
That means you've got 7 days to take advantage of one of the biggest sales in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. If you buy any of our amazing supplements, the Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, all of the great products are there right now. Buy one already discounted, get the very same bottle, the very same product, absolutely free, but it's only running for 7 days. When you're a VIP for $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special discounts, and more. That's how you take advantage of the buy one, get one free. This is only for VIP members, but anybody going to the store should be a VIP because you get $40 for subscribing for $30 a month. You make money on that, and you can cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for your support.
It's Friday, August 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal for this Friday edition. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars studios here in Austin, Texas. Very happy to be with you here today. And folks, last night, Chuck Grassley declassified some documents about Russiagate that just tell it all. It just tells the whole story. We're going to dig into this document. We're going to be drawing line maps. We're going to be connecting dots. We're going to be confirming what we've known the entire time, that the Russiagate collusion hoax was a deliberate coup carried out by a vast network of deep state operatives. And we have it all in black and white now. It's just absolutely bombshell stuff. We got a ton of tariff news and economic news as well. A lot of videos to get into, your calls as well. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, to your Daily Dispatch for Friday, the 1st of August, 2025. Trump sets 10% to 41% reciprocal tariffs on dozens of countries' exports. Donald Trump signed an executive order Thursday imposing reciprocal tariffs ranging from 10 to 41% on U.S. imports from dozens of countries and foreign locations. Tariffs, a big topic of conversation on the news sites today, setting tariffs on Canada as well as a bunch of other countries, a lot of conflict with the Fed as he, again, goes for Jerome Powell's neck, basically, and trying to get him to actually serve the American people rather than wield his incredible power for the sole purpose and to the sole benefit of the Democratic Party. We'll get into that later. The second story on similar lines here. U.S. job growth slows sharply in July. Unemployment rate rises to 4.2%. U.S. job growth slowed more than expected in July, while the prior month's data was revised sharply lower, pointing to a sharp moderation in the labor market. Non-farm payrolls increased by 73,000 jobs last month after rising by a downwardly revised 14,000 in June, the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics said in its closely watched employment report on Friday. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast payrolls increasing by 110,000 jobs after rising by a previously reported 147,000 in June. The unemployment rate rose to 4.2% from 4.1% in June. Meanwhile, Trump's special envoy Witkoff and Israeli ambassador Huckabee will visit Gaza to survey aid distribution sites. Prepare the Potemkin village. Prepare the Potemkin aid distribution site, Israelis. Steve Witkoff, serving as Trump's special envoy, and U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee are scheduled to visit Gaza on Friday to evaluate aid delivery locations amid a severe humanitarian emergency. Their visit follows a war that began on October 7th, blah, blah, blah. Since the war started, Gaza has faced complete aid blockade for 2.5 months, causing widespread hunger and malnutrition among its 2 million residents and escalating violence at aid distribution points. The Gaza Ministry of Health reported that over 90 Palestinians lost their lives and more than 600 were injured within the last 24 hours while trying to receive aid, including 54 fatalities near the Zikim crossing in northern Gaza on Wednesday. This visit and increased international pressure came as German Foreign Minister Johann Wadepohl stressed Germany's commitment to a two-state solution and the need to begin peace negotiations immediately. 90 Palestinians killed and more than 600 injured in just the last 54 hours, including 54 in just the last 24 hours, including 54 fatalities near the Zikim crossing in northern Gaza on Wednesday. So just keeping up the routine. I mean, it's not a war. This isn't a war per se. It's just mass executions on a daily basis by the dozens. Meanwhile, Nayib Bukele's party in El Salvador changes the El Salvadorian constitution, an expansion of presidential power. The party of El Salvador President Nayib Bukele approved constitutional changes in the country's legislative assembly on Thursday that will allow indefinite presidential re-election and extend presidential terms to 6 years. Lawmaker Ana Figueroa, from the New Ideas Party has proposed the changes to five articles of the Constitution. The proposal also included eliminating the second round of the election, where two top vote getters of the first round face off. New Ideas, the party and its allies, the Legislative Assembly, quickly approved the proposals with the supermajority they hold. The vote passed with 57 in favor and 3 opposed. Bukele overwhelmingly won re-election last year, despite a constitutional ban after Supreme Court justices selected his party by his party ruled in 2021 to allow re-election to a second 5-year term. Observers had worried that Bukele had a plan to consolidate power since at least 2021, when a newly elected Congress with a strong governing party majority voted to remove the magistrates of the constitutional chamber of the Supreme Court. Those justices had been seen in the last check on the popular president. Since then, Bukele has only grown more popular. The Biden administration's initial expression of concern gave way to quiet acceptance as Bukele announced his run for re-election. With the return of U.S. President Donald Trump to the White House in January, Bukele had a new powerful ally and quickly offered Trump help by taking more than 200 deportees from other countries into newly built prisons for gang members. Again, this just we are entering into a new age of kings. I don't know who it was yesterday. It may have been Andrew Torba. Somebody on X made this point, and I think they're right. The world is. As a whole, collapsing into basically just a bureaucratic morass. And you're going to have strong characters, strong personalities, usually men, rise up from this rubble and seize the reins. As Napoleon put it, the crown of France was in the gutter and I picked it up with my sword. You're going to see a lot of crowns being picked up with a lot of swords, I think, in the near future. And as whoever this was online, again, this is what happens to me is I read like a million ideas online and then I try to repackage them, the ones that I think are valuable for the audience. But then I feel guilty because they're not always my ideas, although I do agree with them and we'll expand on them. So sorry, I just have this guilt complex where it's like a compulsion for me. I have to tell you that I didn't come up with this idea. Anyway, whoever it was made a great point. They said, we're going to see a new age of kings. There's not going to be called kings, but they will be for all intents and purposes. Nayib Bukele is basically the king of El Salvador and honestly should probably be crowned king of El Salvador. And this is the process that it always takes, right? The one thing when you read, Roman history and you learn about the Republic and how it turns into an empire after Caesar conquers the Gauls and reorganizes the entire governmental system. And then those changes are confirmed by Augustus, who he adopts as his son. And then adoption becomes the rule of how you pass power along rather than electing consuls. It becomes a family affair, which, of course, is the prerequisite for a dynasty. It's how you get kings. Basically, just like in the Roman Republic, you have representative government collapsing into bureaucracy, a strong man rising, and establishing a dynasty. I mean, we're going to start seeing that. It is, in fact, not the end of history, and we're actually on a very exciting trajectory towards some pretty unprecedented governmental manifestations, I believe, around the world. So good for Bukele. think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. And of course, he infuriates the powers that be more than anything because he has shown with incontrovertible proof that you can solve the problems that they constantly create. You can actually have a safe, prosperous country that's not ruled by a collage of violent psychopath criminal gangs. And they hate him for that. They hate him for that because they are really desperate to make you think that this system is irreparably broken and needs to be replaced with some sort of AI-controlled technocracy. They're really desperate to make you think that, gee, all of these problems, all the crime and the house prices and the immigration, these are just natural occurrences that are impossible to deal with unless we have, you know, surrendered all of our sovereignty and all of our authority to some unelected, you know, technocratic Israeli to deal with. So that's not true. In fact, you can just throw the criminals in prison. You can just round up the networks. You can just put things right, achieve justice, and maintain sovereignty if you wanted to do that. The people in power are running the Cloward Piven strategy of let's destroy the country by moving away from all the traditions, but then also blame all the traditions for the current state of the country we've destroyed so we can eradicate the traditional governmental establishment in favor of our own communistic, socialistic, unelected, globalist, technocratic control grid. Or we can just elect somebody like Bukele and throw the criminals in prison. I guess the choice is ours. And then we have this, the final story of our Daily Dispatch, and the top story maybe ever in history. Senate releases docs proving Hillary knew Trump was innocent of Russia collusion and worked with the FBI to frame him. And that's just, well, it doesn't even do justice to scratching the surface of what these documents reveal. Again, Chuck Grassley released these documents, and we have them here. We have the 30-page slab of paper here to get into, and we're just going to have to read through the whole thing. We're honestly just going to have to read through the whole thing. Authorized for public release by Chairman Grassley, report on matters related to intelligence activities and investigations arising out of the 2016 presidential campaign. Long story short, it was a giant conspiracy, including Loretta Lynch, Obama, Hillary Clinton, James Comey, everybody in the top brass of the FBI and the CIA, all being coordinated and instructed and guided by the Open Side Societies Foundation, George Soros and his operatives quarterbacking it all, manipulating it all, and all of this being done, again, in a way that just confirms absolutely everything we've ever said about this whole situation on InfoWars. So we're gonna dig very, very much into this revelation from Chuck Grassley. And I'm telling you, I read through it yesterday, and it's just absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Stay tuned for that. I do want to remind you, while we still have time, you've got to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, one of the biggest sales we've ever had there, happening right now, the store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale for VIPs only, folks. You got to sign up for the VIP club, and hell, if you're just signing up for the VIP club to take advantage of this sale, I'm not going to tell anybody. I won't tell anybody, all right? You can get away with it. We're going to turn a blind eye. All you do, you go sign up for the VIP club. It's $30 a month. You get $40 immediately. You spend that money on $80 worth of product with the buy one, get one free VIP sale. And then if you want, you can cancel the VIP membership. No one will be any the wiser. All right.
So wait, you're saying that for $30, I get $80 worth of stuff?
Believe it or not, Matt, that's exactly what I'm saying. Literally, $30 VIP club, $40 of store credit, you've just made $10. You buy something that's buy one, get one, you're doubling your money. That's $80 worth of product for $30 to join the VIP club. And then you can just cancel, and I won't tell them. I'm not going to say anything. Your secret's safe with me. It's all right. I don't mind. Buy one, get one free on all supplements and apparel while supplies last. You can unlock massive savings with our store-wide buy one, get one super sale at thealexjonesstore.com, where VIP members score buy one, get one deals on all supplements and apparel to supercharge your wellness and style. This exclusive offer is reserved for our VIP club elites, giving you unbeatable value, top quality products that will fuel your fight for truth and freedom. Join today for $30. Get $40 instant in-store credit. plus access to the epic super sale, buy one, get one free, and you can cancel anytime. But when you do sign up for the VIP club, you get a ton of other stuff as well, not just access to this sale, but a bunch of other great discounts. Sometimes VIPs get free shipping when it's not available to anybody else. You also get to download all of the old archive Alex Jones tapes. You can have every Alex Jones radio show. It's an archive exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com for the VIP members. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let him know who sent you. Now, I don't even know how to adequately or appropriately set up this document that's been dropped in our laps here. Chuck Grassley released it. Report on matters related to intelligence activities and investigations arising out of the 2016 presidential campaign. And like I said, I mean, it literally just confirms absolutely everything that we have to say about it. There's a story about this on InfoWars. Breaking: declassified Durham appendix shows Hillary Clinton personally ordered Trump-Russia hoax, used FBI to, quote, put oil on the fire. Documents reveal deep conspiracy between politicians, non-governmental organizations, and intelligence communities to usurp free and fair elections. And we can just get into this. This classified appendix, so this was an appendix, an addition to the Durham report that I guess was hidden. Supposedly this was part of the document tranche that was discovered in burn bags, thanks to an FBI whistleblower telling Kash Patel, hey, there's all this evidence that they're about to burn. Kash Patel went into some locked secret room in the FBI headquarters, found all these burn bags. And I suppose this is a portion of that. This classified appendix forms a part of the report on matters related to intelligence activities and investigations arising out of the 2016 presidential campaigns and provides further information about matters covered in three sections of the report. The section provides further factual backgrounds about the, quote, one, or the one, possible Clinton campaign plan described in the office's report. Two, the office's efforts to verify or refute information about that plan. And three, the manner in which the department officials received and acted on or did not act on the campaign plan information. The office's prosecution decisions related to the plan are described in the other section of the unclassified report. Beginning in or about 2014 and continuing at least in or about 2016, individuals affiliated with Russian intelligence services hacked and gained unlawful access to emails of numerous U.S. public and private entities, including government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and think tanks based in the United States. Among the nonprofit organizations hacked by the Russian government actors in 2016 was the Open Societies Foundation, formerly known as the Soros Foundation. From blank through blank, received from a blank source referred to herein as T1, shared with the FBI, intelligence consisting of blank. We identify the information provided by T1 as sensitive intelligence. The sensitive intelligence included emails, blank, hacking of U.S.-based communications, blank, reports analyzing the hacked U.S. material, and three, what appears or purport to be original hacked emails of U.S. persons or portions of such email. Two of the apparently hacked emails appear to have originated from the Open Society Foundations. The purported author of these emails was Leonard Bernardo, who is the regional director for Eurasia at the Open Societies Foundation. In that capacity, Bernardo oversaw efforts related to Russia and the former Soviet republics, among other countries. So again, if you can cast your mind back to 2016, I think you remember there was this scandal about the DNC hacked emails that were supposedly hacked by Russia. And I very distinctly remember the exact moment Trump made a joke about this. And it seemed to me at the time that this was like perfectly aligned with and seemed to be sort of the impetus for the whole Russia collusion hoax. Now, I don't know if y'all remember this, but Trump went out and gave a speech where he said, if the Russians have the emails, release them, release the emails, let us know what we have. And it was like from that moment on, and it was, you know, it was half a joke from Trump. It wasn't him very seriously sending a personal message to Russia saying, Russia, will you please leak these emails? I think half of it was him mocking them because WikiLeaks also had the emails. So he's making fun of them, going, I think WikiLeaks has them, but if Russia has them, hell, they should leak them. They should release them. And of course, making the point that our government is, you know, engaged in corrupt activity. If there's criminality going on in our government and we have to beg the Russians to expose that, because our government is so corrupt that the bad actors in our government would never be caught without outside interference. There's a lot of points to that, but nobody watching actually seriously thought that was a legitimate call to Russia to betray the United States and interfere in the election. But it was from like that moment on, I remember everybody saying, oh, Donald Trump calls for Russia to interfere in the election. He is a Russian puppet. How dare he? But it's true. The Russians had all these emails, and they showed collaboration, coordination, conspiracy to not just frame Donald Trump as a Russian agent in order to, you know, try to prevent him from becoming president, but also admitting in this art, in this documentation, and we'll get to it, that it was all in service of the eventual war with Russia that Clinton and her cronies were establishing the groundwork for as early as 2014. Of course, the groundwork for that had been laid even earlier with the Ukraine coup and everything, but they actually admit here, and I'll read it to you, and it's really just me patting myself on the back for always bringing up the fact that there's a reason it's Russia that they went with when trying to lie about Trump. They could have said he was a Chinese collusion, Saudi Arabian collusion. There are any 200 countries they could choose from. They chose Russia in particular in order to drive Trump away from friendly activity with Putin, knowing that they would eventually go to war with Putin and didn't want some rogue U.S. president making peace with him in the meantime. Beginning in 2016, the FBI received information from T1 related to the 2016 presidential election, including reports written by blank. These reports purported communications of Bernardo and others. In particular, in 2016, T1 provided the U.S. government with two blank memoranda that described confidential conversations, blank, between then Democrat. And when I say blank, by the way, for our radio listeners, that's when it's been censored. It's been blocked out, blacked out. Redacted is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Matt. Between then Democratic National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz and two individuals at the Open Society Foundation, referred to in the memorando as the Soros Foundation, i.e. one, Bernardo, and two, Jeffrey Goldstein, who, according to public sources, was senior policy advisor for Eurasia at the Open Society Foundation. The January 2016 memorandum, which was in Russian, blank, stated the relevant part. In January 12th of this year, during a confidential discussion with Jeffrey Goldstein, a representative of the Soros Foundation on Eurasia, Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz characterized the situation in her party in light of the growing scandal surrounding Hillary Clinton as follows. Information released to the media in the last few days about the FBI investigating possible corruption related to Department of State under the leadership of Clinton, preferential treatment of donors of the Clinton Foundation, caused a significant reaction inside the party. At the same time, the leadership of the DP, that's Democratic Party, had known about the information since June of 2015. According to Wasserman Schultz, FBI so far does not have persuasive evidence against Hillary Clinton because of the timely deletion of relevant data from mail servers. Oh, but her emails. But her emails, though. This paragraph alone, or this segment alone. And as far as I can tell, this is a memorandum from involving Bernardo, Jeffrey Goldstein at the Soros Foundation, aka the Open Societies Foundation, and Wasserman Schultz, communicating with each other, admitting that Hillary Clinton was involved in corruption at the State Department and that she got away with it by acid washing her server and then laughing about it in your face.
This is a major TheAlexShowStore.com news alert. I am cutting this announcement on the 30th of July, 2025. That means you've only got 7 days to take advantage of this massive sale at TheAlexShowStore.com. Store-wide, buy one bottle of any of the amazing supplements or any of the Patriot Apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, you name it, and you get another item absolutely free at TheAlexShowStore.com. And there's a catch, but it's a good catch. You got to be a VIP. It's $30 a month. It's just like being an Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers, special sales. You get massive discounts on every product right away by being a VIP. And you can cancel with one click in your profile anytime. Go to TheAlexShowStore.com right now and get ultramethylene blue, capsules or liquid. Buy one, get one free. Power Plant, next level energy, way stronger than even Turbo Force. It's crazy. You add it with methylene drive product, it's dangerous. Be careful. These are incredible products. The Shilajit capsules and gummies. Ultimate Burn, incredible natural fat burning formula. Works great. People love it. Ultimate CMOS gummies and the capsules. The very strongest turmeric. Prebiotics, probiotics, gut cleanse. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 7 days, buy one, get one free when you're a VIP. I want to thank you all for your support. These are incredible products. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and experience what it does for your health and overall vitality, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear. Thank you so much for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
I saw Alex Jones and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. Yeah, lost some weight.
He
looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It was like Christmas for conspiracy theorists, I have to tell you. The release from Chuck Grassley of these documents, the appendix of the Durham report that's been hidden, stored away, kept in the dark for almost a decade at this point, lays out in no uncertain terms with perfect clarity the conspiracy, or I guess I can say a conspiracy, an absolute verbatim conspiracy. It is truly crazy. Stories in InfoWars, declassified Durham appendix shows Hillary Clinton personally ordered Trump Russia hoax, used FBI to, quote, put more oil on the fire. Folks, every page of this document reveals more criminal activity, blatant corruption, total collusion, to screw over the American people and achieve their truly murderous ends. So we just read was that in a memorandum between the Open Society Foundation and the DNC, Democratic Party, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, revealed that, yes, they were searching for evidence of Hillary Clinton's criminal activity, in part because of preferential treatment of donors at the Clinton Foundation by the State Department, right? So some organization or individual or country, for that matter, remember, one of the biggest donors to the Clinton Foundation was Saudi Arabia. They would donate to the Clinton Foundation, and then they would receive preferential treatment or extra attention. It was a bribe in order to co-opt the power of the State Department for their benefit. So the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, running this fake sham charity as a money laundering operation, accepted so-called donations from foreign powers. And then in exchange for that so-called donation, they would receive preferential benefit from the State Department. It's the pay-for-play model that Joe Biden used with his son Hunter and his brother Jim in weaponizing and selling the powers of the vice presidency under Obama. The same thing was happening in the State Department with Hillary Clinton. Essentially, under Obama, the entire American government was just openly for sale. And all you had to do was donate to the Clinton Foundation or invest in Hunter's company in order to get access directly to the levers of power in America so that these corrupt people, trying to keep the four-letter words out of my mouth, these corrupt people could sell out your country for their own personal benefit. Okay, so they say, yeah, it looks like, FBI was investigating possible corruption relating to Department of State under Clinton, giving preferential treatment to donors to her foundation. And that caused a significant reaction inside the party, which is surprising. I guess the reaction would be, oh my gosh, we have to cover this up quick. It's just hard for me to believe the Democrats actually have any genuine principled outrage at the concept of the Clintons selling out America. It seems like they're actually fine with that. But apparently it caused negative reaction inside the party. But they say, and they admit in their own words, FBI so far does not have persuasive evidence against Hillary Clinton because of the timely deletion of relevant data from mail servers. So in other words, I mean, they just admit here that there was data on the servers that would have given the FBI all the evidence they would need to prove that Hillary Clinton was running a pay-for-play scheme. And this is Debbie Wasserman Schultz admitting that the only reason the FBI doesn't have the information was because of, quote, timely deletion of relevant data from mail servers. Oh, but her emails. Yeah. But her emails, though. Okay. Blatant corruption. So that's admit. I mean, again, we're on page, literally on page 3. And already we have the Democrats admitting that they deleted relevant data from the illegal mail servers in order to cover up the criminal pay-for-play corruption activity Hillary Clinton was engaged in with the State Department. We're not even done with the third page. Obama has no intention to darken the final part of his presidency and legacy by the scandal surrounding the main contender of the Democratic Party. He has no intention to darken the final part of his presidency. Well, that sort of backfired, didn't it? Your legacy could have been that you were a great president and Hillary Clinton was a corrupt scumbag. Instead, now your legacy is, we all know, you're the corrupt scumbag. You're actually the criminal. You actually let people get away with things out of your own ego to upkeep your own self-importance. Thinking that this crime against America can't be punished because that might leave a black mark on your complete fake, falsified, and frankly, scandal-ridden legacy. They admit that. Obama has no intention to darken the final part of the presidency and legacy by the scandal surrounding the main contender from the DP. To solve the problem, the president puts pressure on FBI Director James Comey through Attorney General Lynch, however, so far without concrete results. All right, so again, what we have here is we have it admitted by the Democrats, by the Democratic Party, in an own internal memo from 2016, saying Clinton was involved in pay-for-play activity, totally corrupt. The FBI was investigating it, but they weren't going to find anything because the illegal email servers had already been whitewashed, already been deleted and acid washed and bleach bit. And that Obama, in order to preserve his own legacy, sent Attorney General Loretta Lynch to pressure James Comey to drop the investigation against Hillary Clinton. Okay? Conspiracy. Okay? They conspired. They worked in secret to cover up criminal activity so that their agenda could progress and their political cachet could be wielded. Comey gravitates towards Republicans and apparently intends to prolong the investigation so that the scandal would keep going until the presidential election to jeopardize the chances of the Democrat Party to win the presidential race. So that's the Democratic Party and the Open Society Foundation saying that they suspect Comey of trying to use this investigation to hurt Hillary Clinton. During confidential contacts on March 5th with Leonard Bernardo, again, Soros Fund Eurasian Regional Director. Oh, no, that's a different. OK, sick. So they wrote this wrong in this memo. This is a March 2016 memo. And they say Leonard Bernardo, who was actually the or maybe he was the fund Eurasian regional director, but he was high up in the Open Society Foundation. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chairperson of the National Committee of the Democratic Party, characterized the developments in the pre-election campaign of Hillary Clinton in the following way, quote, in relation to the consensus reached among the Democratic Party leadership regarding the candidacy of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possible negative effects from the FBI investigation of cases related to the Clinton Foundation and the email correspondence in the State Department. Barack Obama, as president, sanctioned the use of all administrative levers to remove possible effects from the FBI investigation of cases. Okay, translation here. Hillary Clinton broke the law, covered it up by deleting her email server. Barack Obama not only sent Loretta Lynch to pressure in a secretive and probably illegal way, pressure the FBI director to drop the case on Hillary Clinton, but actually to activate all possible levers all throughout the executive branch to try to scuttle, destroy, delay, somehow prevent the investigation of the FBI into Hillary Clinton, ostensibly to save Obama's legacy, which now I hope we all know is in complete tatters as all of his criminal activity and the cover-up is revealed here in black and white for all of us to read in an official document hidden for years, released finally by Chuck Grassley as the chairman of the Oversight Committee. Based on information from Wasserman Schultz, the FBI does not possess any kind of direct evidence against Clinton because of their timely deletion of the email servers. The political director of the Clinton of Hillary Clinton's staff, Amanda Renteria, regularly receives information from Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the plans and intentions of the FBI. Okay, so another wrinkle of this corruption. You now not only have the president of the United States pressuring the FBI and using all sorts of other administrative pressures he can wield to drop a legitimate investigation into actual criminal activity of the State Department under his watch. But you also have the chief of staff of Hillary Clinton receiving direct reports from the Attorney General Loretta Lynch as to the progression of the FBI investigation, obviously in order to stay ahead of it and to, you know, delete information they'd be getting close to, or I don't know, have suspects they may be questioning commit suicide by shooting themselves twice in the back of the head. I'm just speculating, but obviously there's a reason that they're being kept abreast of the latest developments in the FBI case, and it's not because they're curious, right? It's not because they're just so interested in how the FBI is doing these days. It's because they committed crimes, and now they have somebody on the inside feeding them information about the investigation so that they can stay ahead of it. Total criminal activity. This person's not even in the government. She's a assistant to Hillary Clinton, who at the time was running for president. So you now have people within the within the government working with law enforcement to destroy the investigation in order to help the presumed candidate of the Democratic Party. Total, open, blatant, treasonous corruption. Every single person mentioned in this has to be arrested. I think Alex Jones said 60 days. Fine. That's a little long for me. 60 minutes is more like the timeline I would like to work with. But should we say 60 days, 2 months? We got, you got August and September. If by October these people aren't arrested, maybe we have to arrest them ourselves. I mean, maybe that's the ultimate lesson of Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers, which is like justice isn't dependent on what the government will give you, just like our rights are not dependent on what the government will give us. If you've got criminal activity happening and the government isn't stopping it, it's not just legal for you to involve in this. All right, now that's driving me crazy. I like it. I like the sentiment. But oh my God. There's a joke from the Drew Carey show that I've remembered my whole life from the early 90s. And the character's like, do you guys hear a clock ticking in your head that just gets louder and louder all the time? No, you don't. Anyway, that scared the crap out of me as a kid. The idea of a clock ticking in your head, always getting louder. The crew just somehow invoked long dormant PTSD in my brain with that ticking sound.
That's the sound you hear on Sunday nights before you have to go to bed to go to school on Monday.
Or do a show on Monday morning.
Yeah.
No joke. No, I've got what they call Captain Hook syndrome. I can't hear that clock ticking without my heart rate going up. All right. What was I saying? Just total blatant. Like, if the government doesn't give you justice, that doesn't mean that justice has therefore been achieved, right? If, like, you gotta go out and get it yourself, actually, the government doesn't give you justice, that doesn't mean that you have to be okay with that. Doesn't mean you have to accept that. If, you know, a criminal is able to manipulate the legal system in order to get away with the crime, that doesn't mean he is therefore metaphysically innocent. Right? The structures of our government, just like they don't grant us rights, they simply codify and enumerate them. They don't grant us justice either. They're just the most convenient, you know, form to achieve justice that we've all agreed to adhere to, as long as it works. And that's sort of the key part, as long as it works. If these systems of law and order that we've established to bring us justice fail to bring us justice, instead we are continually presented with innumerable amounts, you know, innumerable instances of evidence of blatant criminality at the highest levels of our government, and our justice, so-called justice system, is incapable of holding these people accountable or punishing them or in any way bringing them under the same purview and authority that you or I would be under, then it's not a system of justice. It's just purely a system of power to impose upon your enemy. And so we're under no obligation to adhere to it. They've broken the societal contract. And look, I've said it a million times. That is genuinely the last thing that I want. All we want, Trump supporters, info warriors, conservatives, patriotic Americans, is for the American system to function as designed, to be used with the intent that it was designed to be used for, and for us to rescue this system and reinvigorate this system and rebuild this system and reinforce this system so that we can achieve justice and hold these criminals to account and not have our justice system taken over by a bunch of criminals to further progress their criminality and punish anybody that tries to stand up against them. And if it gets to the point where we got to get vigilante justice, where our justice system is incapable or unwilling to actually punish the real criminals while ruthlessly pursuing you for any perceived slight against the powers that be, it would get really bad. It would be really bad, and especially at this very dangerous time where we have a bunch of enemies geopolitically just waiting for us to have our guard down so they can take us on. We don't want to have mobs of Americans, you know, kicking down the gates to private neighborhoods and hauling Loretta Lynch out of her bed for some street justice. God forbid we have to descend to that. And do we not get that that's the whole reason that we have a justice system? Is because the alternative is mob rule, is just like lynching people and just like riots and, right? We have the system, and so people don't act on their impulses. They don't just try to achieve justice themselves. They don't get revenge themselves. They don't take on vendettas and go try to dish out their own version of punishment under their own judgment. We all agree we're not going to do that. We'll leave it up to the system because we trust it and because it works as intended. If it doesn't work as intended, there's no reason to trust it. The societal social construct is contract is broken. And so there's no reason to adhere to it. So like this really isn't an option. Punishment has to happen. Frankly, I think it's going to happen. The only question is, how is it going to happen? I would love to see it happen through the appropriate channels, leveling the prescribed punishment against these vicious, corrupt idiots whose crimes have been exposed in black and white for the world to see. I'm desperate for our American system to prove its own worth, to prove its own value, to insist upon its own legitimacy by throwing these people in prison for a long time, by seizing everything they've ever owned and giving it back to the American people, of investigating not just the people enumerated in this document, but the organizations that they work for, being investigated as the mafias that they are. In this document, you've got the Open Society Foundation, the Democratic Party, and a number of other organizations harboring criminals, working as the, you know, organizations by which criminals commit their crimes. How do we even have this document and there haven't been SWAT teams kicking down the door of the Democratic headquarters and hauling away all of their computers? How is this not treated as a perfectly valid and legal warrant for arresting, interrogating, and surveilling every single member of the Open Society Foundation leadership? I mean, they were doing this in their capacity as, you know, Eurasian regional director of the Open Society Foundation. So it's not like this is a situation where, you know, some dude who works at Microsoft runs a scam, but you're not going to punish Microsoft from that. He's an individual. He committed a crime. He'll be punished. The company has nothing to do with it. No, no. This was done in the official capacity using the official and, you know, corporate attributes, corporate capabilities of the Open Society Foundation to achieve this political manipulation, corruption, pay-for-play activity. Political director of the Hillary Clinton staff, Amanda Renteria, regularly receives information from Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the plans and intentions of the FBI. And of course, y'all remember that there was a giant scandal that they completely tried to ignore, where Loretta Lynch was caught in person in 2016. FBI never probed confidential talks between DNC, Clinton campaign, and George Soros Group bombshell intel files show. They've known it. And this is from the Durham report. So this has been hidden for the last 5-6 years at least. Active work is being done questioning potential witnesses who are mostly computer specialists in the Clinton private circle. They represent the only tools that may be used in this matter. Therefore, the threat is minimal. DNC predicts a certain Clinton victory in the current presidential campaign. The impressive results of Donald Trump are dividing the Republican Party elite, which finds itself in near panic condition. So again, this memo was from 2016, which I love that we have these internal memos from 2016 to show you what they were actually thinking at the time, just how wrong they were. The two-pronged DP opposition is focused on discrediting Trump through debates and propaganda activity based upon his weak points, such as his uncontrollable temperament, questionable instances in business dealing, absence of diplomatic skills, lack of political experience. Among other things, the Clinton staff, with support from special services, is preparing scandalous revelations of business relations between Trump and the Russian mafia, quote unquote. And then they list a bunch of people who they are basically saying we're going to try to, you know, pretend to tie him to these people because all these people have associations with the Russian government. So again, just like when we talk about these media campaigns, the psychological operations, this is what we're talking about. I mean, it's not, we're not kidding when we say this. We're not exaggerating or like using dramatic words for effect. Literally, the Open Society Foundation, the federal government, the DNC, the Clinton campaign, all of their collaborators in the mainstream media literally send memos to one another going, here's the plan. We're going to try to discredit Trump by associating him with Russian oligarchs and mafia members. Here's the list of the people to associate him with. Here are the things to go after. His inexperience with this, his temperament, his this. And they get these and they follow the instructions. And so, you know, to the average person out there who doesn't have the ability to, you know, imagine things, I guess, sees all of this happen all at once. And to them, the ubiquity of the statements, the, how should I put it? The unified and coordinated revelation of information to them is evidence of its truth, which is the opposite of what it is. See, these talking points go out to all the media outlets, so they all push the same story at the same time. Now, to us, who know what's going on in the background, we understand, okay, a memo's gone out, they've gotten their talking points, they're all following the same script. To the average normie out there who doesn't see that, all they see is, gee, NBC's reporting this, but so is CNN, and Fox News is saying the same thing. If everybody's saying the same thing, it must be true. How could they all come to the same conclusion if it's not true? It must be true. And that's part of the strategy, right? When you have a full spectrum push where everybody's reporting it, everybody in a slightly different way, everybody reports it as if they themselves discovered it or as if it's, you know, something that everybody's realizing at the same time. No, the reality is, they're getting memos that are directing them specifically what to say, when to say it, how to say it, who to relate it to, and what the purpose of it is. So again, when normies see this, to them, they you know, it's almost like the quote of like meat comes from the store, right? It's like, well, the meat's on the shelf. There it is. They never stop to think like, well, where did it come from? How did it get here? Where was it before this? How did they... Right. You shouldn't hunt. You should get meat from the store where it comes from. Right. To these people, it's like, well, once the story's on the headline, it's just there. It just appears there. It's just there. God only knows where it came from or, you know, what was happening before then. It's just presented to them and they just accept it and don't think about what motivation anybody had for posting it. So they just see Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. NBC's telling me, CNN's telling me, Fox is telling me. They just hear it pumped into their head over and over, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. And eventually, they believe it. That's the purpose of the coordinated attack. That's the purpose of the collaboration, the conspiracy behind the scenes. We're just barely scratching the surface, folks. Stay with us.
I'm only as strong as you are backing me. Have you figured it out yet? This is not like a regular show. The bad guys don't like it for a reason, because we have the information and we have the spirit of victory. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com. The new sale is one of the biggest in the history, maybe the biggest. Store-wide, buy one, get one free super sale. All the t-shirts, all the ball caps, the widest selection, all of the award-winning supplements, the Shilajit, the Methylene Blue, the Ultimate Life Force Blood Cardiovascular Cleaner, the best out there, Atomic Defense, Total Boost Your Immune System, the Irish Sea Moss, just over the top, everything, all of it, already discounted, buy one, get one free, but here's the catch. You have to be a subscriber, which is $30 a month, and you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. So if you're going to buy something, you instantly make your money back and then some simply by becoming a subscriber in the profile. Cancel one click anytime. You need to try our Ultra Methylene Blue, but talk to your physician first. And if you're on SSRIs and things, you can't take it. So check with your physician, or you can look at what you're taking as well and just check if there's interactions with it, because it's very powerful. It's very strong. Get the capsules or get the pure liquid. Same thing with the capsule. It's the very best medical grade. Get the IRC Moss. Get the Shilajit. Get the pills, the gummies. It's all there. And then there's the best probiotic, the best prebiotic, the best gut cleanse formula, the very best turmeric, ultimate turmeric. It's just amazing. 95% cumanoid. Great fat, natural fat burning formula. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And the widest selection of t-shirts, ball caps, and more. Like I said I want the widest selection. It's kind of insane. There's like 500 plus designs now. It's redonkulous. So get it all right now and fund the Second American Revolution worldwide at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.